is about. I'm a black man trying not to get caught. I'm just trying to solve the puzzle like a jigsaw. You know it's a big world, so easy to get lost. I'm just trying to solve the puzzle like a jigsaw, jigsaw.
Why does not America look like Dubai and Germany? And why doesn't America look like Russia and Persia? And where is the money going? There should be grapes, turnips, vegetables, everything on the street today for the homeless to eat. You're making us pay for water. You're making us pay for grapes, things that God gave us for free. Ha! You in hell, I'm through with you.
Welcome to another episode of Jigsaw Podcast. I am
Josh Rogers.
I am Brian Hare.
And what a way to start off. This is the podcast where we talk about putting all the pieces together, the jigsaw even, where we talk about the perils, the praises, the pomp and circumstance, productivity of being black millennials just trying to figure this thing called life out. Brian.
Yes.
How are you?
It's always a great day to be black, brother. Always.
Is it? Always. I feel like you're in the country technically, but I feel like it's low-key still out of the country. I don't care what people say.
Yeah, I'm in Puerto Rico. So it's not the United States, but it is, you know, I don't need a passport or anything like that
it's a territory, whatever
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, it's fine.
Is this your first time in Puerto Rico?
It is.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's my first time in Puerto Rico. Have you been to Puerto Rico before?
I haven't, but they're on one of my work lists as well, possibly this year, sometime early next year, so I will be there.
Okay, that works. Mm-hmm. It was a quick turnaround trip, so I literally got in yesterday, and as I should be, after we record this, I should be heading to the airport.
My God.
Yeah.
My God. It looks like the Saints of Puerto Rico need to upgrade that hotel.
Yeah, yeah, it's the Embassy Suites, but it's not like, I've stayed at other Embassy Suites before, and this is not like a modern Embassy Suites. It's not like terrible, but it's not what I'm used to. Yeah, it's not what I'm used to.
I want to do this, and I want us to practice self-control.
Okay.
I was on the Instagram.
Okay.
Scrolling through, and someone used a Jagged Edge, I Promise, music for one of the IG reels.
Uh-huh.
And I went down a rabbit hole.
Okay.
I've been listening to Jagged Edge all morning.
Okay. They have a good catalog.
They got a good catalog. Mm-hmm. Where is R&B? Where is the love?
Where?
I was just singing, baby, I promise these things to you. Mm. Woo, don't let nobody say it ain't so.
Mm, that's a good one.
Because I never leave and everything will be all right. Mm. I promise these things are true. Girl, believe. He sang that. You hear me? He sang the crap out of that. The only thing I don't like is that Let's Get Married. It's just
That's a terrible song.
That settlement love. I don't want that. But Reverend, I miss that R&B.
I do.
And that's that early 2000s R&B.
Yeah. I think me, you and Chris always have the argument, like, you know, he's like, well, he liked the 2000 R&B. I like 90s R&B, but I understand 2000s is kind of like the baby of.
It's the baby of the 90s.
Yeah. So it's still good R&B. So I enjoy the R&B. So it makes me happy.
I enjoy the R&B as well. Yeah. Speaking of. Mm-hmm. I got song of the week. We can go straight to it.
All right, let's do
it. I'm ready for it. So this is a song that it's not necessarily something that I like per se.
Okay.
But I haven't been able to get away from it. And it's a good song.
Okay.
It's a great song.
Okay.
And I just haven't got away from it. I'm going to just say this right here. Twin.
Where you been?
Where have you been?
Girl, shout out pajamas.
Shout out Steve Epton.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend in real life. I thought I was immune. Looking around this room. Can't help but see the traces of you. This moment is surreal. Okay, girl, just take it to the park. Here you go.
Where have you been? Nobody knows me like you.
It is churchy.
It's good. I ain't gonna hold you. You can make a good gospel song off this.
Body to body, skin to skin, yeah. You made for me.
Yeah, that's good. So that is Money Long, Made for Me. Great song.
Great song.
She can get a viral hit.
Oh yeah, without a doubt.
She gave us hours and hours.
She did, and
hours and hours had the girls in that chokehold. It was before. It was like a November, and it lasted all the way through Valentine's Day and beyond. It had old women with no teeth singing it and all kind of stuff. If you go to this guy named Jaron LeGrayer, mm-hmm. he's like a vocal coach. We analyze the music.
Yeah,
he looked at this video with this woman. I'm gonna send it to you. This woman, she said, "What if Toni Braxton sang it?" And she did it in a Toni Braxton impersonation voice. Mm. Toni has to cover this song now. Mm. It's mandatory. It's so good. It is so good. Anyway, that's it. Money Long, Made for Me, Song of the Week. Brian, you ready to get into a Blessed Report? Talk about some Black excellence.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, we are at the Blessed Report, where we shout out Black folks doing great Black things. And Josh and I, even though it is Black History Month, and we go extra hard and extra Black this month, we don't just celebrate and support Black businesses during Black History Month. We celebrate, you know, and support Black businesses 365, 24/7. And this week on the Blessed Report, we are shouting out, or blessing up, excuse me, Sydney's Ice Cream and Sydney Newton. So Sydney Newton previously worked as a server at Capitol Grill in Baltimore. Baltimore stand up, RIP to the Ravens. Didn't make it to the Super Bowl. She started as a server at Capitol Grill. To occupy her time, she followed a time of job loss. She actually focused on educating her children while they were completing their studies virtually, and then she began making ice cream, which is kind of dope. It started out with delivering sweet treats to families before Newton branched out into her to incorporating drop-off orders for locals. After that, began consistently serving customers in the Baltimore, Northeast Baltimore area, Bel Air Edison neighborhood, for those that are from Baltimore, you know what's up, 2 days a week. And throughout the creation of Sydney's Ice Cream, we now have a company. She's now looking for a place to make her hobby is now a permanent venture. So she started this business during time of job loss, something for her family, did it in the neighborhood. Now she has a big thriving business, so we're excited about that. Brick and mortar ice cream shop looking to open its doors April 2024. The flavors are going to include cheesecake, raspberry, birthday cake, and some other flavors as well. Although the door is going to be opening up April 2024, you can actually go online and order some ice cream right now at sydneysicecream.com. So go out there and support. Even though it's cold in a lot of places, it's actually 85 right now in Puerto Rico. So I would love a piece of ice cream, even though, you know, ice cream don't really love too many Black people because most Black people are lactose intolerant and all that kind of stuff. But that's neither here nor there.
We gonna eat it anyway.
And just be on the toilet, just doing the thing. So bless up Sydney Newton and Sydney's Ice Cream. Looking forward to supporting you. Rest of anybody pass away?
No, nobody passed. Oh. Not that I know of.
Oh, well, what did God do, Josh?
Stayed the hand of death.
And we thank God for it.
And we thank God for it. Can I say something real quick? Shout out to Sydney Newton and her ice cream.
Yeah.
But I was in the grocery stores this weekend. You know, I usually pass by that Talenti.
Okay.
I ain't spending no $7 on no pint ice cream.
Okay.
I like ice cream, but not enough for a $7 pint.
Yeah.
Reverend, I picked up that Madagascar vanilla bean Talenti ice cream. I ate that ice cream like a girl that got broke up with in a rom-com. Let me tell you. So good. Some of the best vanilla ice cream forget a Blue Bell, forget a Breyers, Reverend Etta Lynchy, Madagascar, Vanilla Bay.
Yeah, I had Talenti one time, and it's not the container is not that big, so you can really go through it pretty quickly.
It's literally just a pretty pint.
Yeah,
but it's just a pint.
Mm-hmm. It's delicious and though.
$7. But it's, and that was on sale because it had the yellow sticker from Kroger. Oh, you know what I'm saying? I know what the yellow sticker made from Kroger.
And Talenti is not cheap.
Oh, it's so good though. I've been savoring it. I didn't eat it all, and I told my kids, if you put a spoon near my Talenti ice cream,
such a black parent.
I'm a trip you up while you walk up the steps. Anyway, God state the hand of death. It is Black Christian Month, so me and Brian are gonna be extra black. Real quick, as an additional bless up, who is at the top of your like Black History celebratory list that you want to celebrate this year?
Let me see. I'm trying to go outside of the normal of the
year. And don't say Malcolm X because we know you love Malcolm X.
I'm gonna do this one. I'm gonna do this one.
Okay.
Elder Watson Diggs.
Praise God.
We can't go wrong with that one. Can't go wrong with Elder Watson Diggs, the dreamer.
The dreamer. I should have named one of my kids Elder.
Elder. And I feel bad because before I knew like history, I thought it was like, because Elder in the church, I thought he was like an elder in the church. I didn't know.
I thought it was a title too, but his name is Elder.
I say this is a sanctified organization. This is a long time ago. I was like, it's sanctified. Elder, are you using your church titles on the, you know, on the roll? Elder
Watson Diggs. That's right. You know, I'm going to go. Something familiar, and it's Shirley Chisholm.
Okay,
your favorite. Because her biopic is coming out featuring Regina King. So I want to highlight that. Cannot wait till Netflix drops that. Regina King is an amazing actress.
Yeah, she is.
So I already know it's going to be super dope.
Without a doubt.
But let's Selma march on down to the Billboard real quick and get into this thing. Yeah. They don't last long. We get to the point. We know you love them because everyone's favorite joint. These are Josh Rogers' athletic abbreviations. The Super Bowl is coming. Mm. Super Bowl, is it Louis Vuitton 3? Is that the one that's coming up? I think so. That's the one. February 11th on your television and mine, we will be watching the Super Bowl that at least Black America did not want. That is the matchup between the Kansas City Chiefs, fried chicken, Patrick Mahomes with the dirt draws, and the San Francisco 49ers. Ain't his last name Purdy?
Yeah, Brock Purdy. You are the athletic savant. Yeah.
It reminds me of... What's the Eddie Murphy movie? The Nutty Professor, Miss Purdy. that's association there. I feel like I don't really believe in conspiracy theories, but I saw somebody put it on the IG. I think the Embrace Black Culture page and said the NFL scriptwriters didn't want these two black cities doing Black Month and Usher performing to be on the Super Bowl.
Listen, it's literally the, so you have two of the blackest cities, one of the blackest quarterbacks in Lamar Jackson. His name was Lamar Jackson. Strong black name, has braids. He is a nigga.
Smoke braids. Quintessential. Yes.
Right. Detroit is one of the blackest cities in the world. Baltimore is one of the blackest cities in the world. But then you have like these two, like, 49ers, white quarterback, white running back, white tight end. Like, it's a
Taylor Swift.
You know, then you got the Chiefs. We got Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes. You know, even his daddy's hella black. You know, he's, you know.
I know.
You know. The Baltimore mayor, he said it's not the Super Bowl anymore. It's the Usher concert. So we call it the Usher concert. The coach called.
Well, before we knew who it was going to be, it was the Usher concert anyway.
Oh yeah.
But I would have loved, and I was trying to explain to my 9-year-old son. He was like, "Daddy, you don't even like the Ravens or the Lions." I said, "That is true." I said, "But Daddy is a pro black man." I said, "In Detroit and Baltimore, to your point, are two of the blackest cities in the United States of America." And then you imagine, because you know, a lot of us wanted going to that game because that game is expensive. Can you imagine all them blacks in Las Vegas, though?
Never. nigga. It would have been like an episode of BMF.
Oh, I would have loved it.
It would have been furs and...
Because you know, them folk from the Midwest, they dress different.
Oh, they do. They do.
Specifically Detroit. There's something about their fashion is very pimp. It gives pimp. It just gives pimp. It's very...
Yeah. Which is weird, though, because Kansas City is a big pimp city, but in terms of, like, it's not a big black city. You know what I'm saying? Like, which is interesting. So, you know.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny. Baltimore. So, who do you have? Who do you go? Who are you going for?
Oh, this is
the Niners.
This is one of those questions. I'm rooting for the 49ers.
Okay. Why?
Cali. A lot of my family members growing up, we were big. California. Yeah, 49ers were. So, in California.
You weren't a Chargers fan ever?
I was never a Chargers fan. I was never a Raiders fan. So, I was either a... You know, my uncle, who's a big 49ers fan, he bought me like 49ers gear. So I was a 49ers fan, but I also was a Cowboy fan. But then I ended up being like just a Deion Sanders fan. So Deion was on the 49ers. So I love the 49ers because Deion was on there. And then he went to the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. And I love the Cowboys because Deion was on there. So I'm rooting for the 49ers.
That's when he had all 10 toes. Yeah.
Not in Black History Month. Not in Black History Month.
It's a Black History fact.
Not Black History Month. But I would never bet against the Chiefs, but I'm rooting against the Chiefs. I don't want them to win again.
Because Patrick Mahomes is one heck of a quarterback.
He is.
And he showed that in this AFC championship. Yeah. So
and it's tough because he's black. So you want to root for the black quarterback. You know what I mean? Like but you know it's that though. You know what I'm saying? But it's that. Like, you black, but there's that.
And the fact that I just can't get over the fact that story that came out that you don't wash your drawers.
You don't. And that's not black.
You wear this, that like, I assume you take a shower, but then you put on these lucky underwear. Because I'm pretty sure the underwear he wore in his AFC game, he got them hanging up airing out somewhere.
Yeah.
Wear them in the Super Bowl. And that's nasty. That's so nasty. Well, my house, I'm not cheering for anybody, but my house will be cheering for the Chiefs. The way you feel about Deion Sanders in your childhood is the way Jaden feels about Patrick Mahomes.
That makes sense.
He loves something about he resonates. And Jaden plays defense, but something about Patrick Mahomes resonates. I feel like certain athletes and stuff just the kids just gravitate to. Mm-hmm. And they pulled him in. They pulled him in. Anyway, so we'll see. I will be watching, probably have me some Adderall like meatballs and, you know, a little Rotel. I saw a new Rotel recipe on the TikToks. I ain't hosting nothing official. If some folk want to come over and chill, I'm open to that. But I'm not throwing like no shindy. So if you want to pull up, wherever you welcome to pull up. I ain't hosting nothing officially. I saw a Rotel recipe that I want to try on the TikTok.
Okay.
Somebody added some different cheeses and stuff. Because, you know, me, I should give me a block of that Velveeta.
Right.
Some ground beef, a can of Rotel, a few little seasonings, and boom, boom, boom. But they got all kind of fresh such and such and cilantro. And it looked great. So I'm going to try that. Again, black folk being lactose intolerant. I think my body is changing.
Yeah.
I can eat cheese. I can't eat it in large amounts like I used to.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then it's gone.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to pay the cost. if I eat a lot of it, I have to pay the cost. But anyway, that is coming up on February 11th. So everybody set your dials for that. Speaking of big announcements, Jess Hilarious has been announced as the official new host of The Breakfast Club. Now this comes after a little bit of drama. So she made an announcement, I think, at the end of 2023 that she would be the co-host. And then things just started spiraling, going crazy. She was no longer on there. I think Al Haar Radio put out a statement. Podcast hosts and people and bloggers started saying she messed up her bad. She talked too much. She shouldn't have did this. She should have did that.
Yeah.
And they did this whole rollout with all of those clips of people saying all these things. And then Jess sitting in this queen chair and Charlamagne and DJ Emmy walking from behind. It was actually pretty dope. Jess Hilarious is on there. I have adjacently followed Jess's career through the years. I've never followed her on Instagram intentionally, but I'll see her videos, laugh at them.
Yeah.
She's not necessarily my brand of comedy, but I respect
what she does and like her grind and her hustle. And I don't, so I have, so I'm not a big Breakfast Club listener. I go watch them, like many people resonate, just no shade, but I go watch their interviews and they have certain people on.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm familiar with them from that context. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? Are you familiar? I'm sure you're familiar with Jess Lahrie. Yeah, how do you think she'll fit in with the with the guys?
So same thing. Like we've seen her ascent to where she is now. So when she was just doing videos, you know, and then she started getting a wild and now started doing TV and stuff like that. So salute to her and what she's doing, her grind.
The glow up is real.
Yeah, without a doubt. I used to be a big Breakfast Club fan. I used to watch it the interviews pretty frequently. That was like one of the things I would go, I don't say every day, but go on YouTube pretty frequently and see who they had as a guest. I haven't tuned in for a while. But I'm glad to see they have, you know, black representation is always a thing. I'm glad she's there. I'm glad she's in that seat. I know they had a lot of people rotating in and out, so I'm glad that they chose her. I feel like she fits in there. I feel like she really wanted it. She really campaigned for it. So I'm excited for that opportunity for her. So that's a good bag for her.
It's a big bag. Like Breakfast Club is not no little rinky dink television. I mean, radio show.
No,
it's massive. So shout out to Jess Lahrie doing her thing. What a way to start off Black History Month. Black women doing great black things. Now let's go to a black woman on the opposite side of that.
Okay.
Krishan Rock. Krishan Rock is dating or engaged to or cohabitating with something with Blueface. And she got a tattoo of Blueface on her face. Now, Brian, one of the things, you know how we leave stuff in 2023? This is one of the things I would have hoped their whole relationship as a whole to have been left in 2023. I understand that y'all have a baby together, y'all have to co-parent, but I am so sick of the Rocks or the Blue Faces, whatever you want to call them. It's just, it's irritating. I'm sick of them. This girl needs help.
She does.
She needs real help. Cause and Blue Face has proven to be, you know, a very toxic, very manipulative gentleman. And it's just this behavior, it's just, and I hate to sound old, but our children are watching.
Yeah.
And I don't want them to ever think that this is a model of a successful relationship. It's I'm not a relationship guy. Me and Brian have a podcast, but we're not those black men that's going to be on here and be like, this is what a relationship looks like. But I will tell you this. That right there is not what relationships are. At all. It is at its best or even at its worst. That's a that is own level of categorical hell that should never be explored.
At all.
Ever be explored. And Brian, you have a daughter.
I do.
You have a daughter.
Yeah, I would murder Blueface.
What would you do if she brought like a Blueface home type dude?
I would murder him. I wouldn't murder him personally. I would, you know.
You put a hit out on him. You say cook him.
I know people who know people.
My God. Say that. My God.
Just make a couple phone calls and
my God.
Let the Lord have his way.
And y'all, this is the man of God. This is the man of God.
And I have no shame, not one hint of shame, guilt, none of the. Like, I would protect my daughter at all costs, and if it takes, because he has to die for her, because it's a soul tie for one, right? Not trying to get deep into that kind of stuff. Soul tie for one, so she can't leave him, right? And even if he dies, that, you know, she would still have that soul tie there and have to take some years of like deliverance to be released from that. But yeah, I don't like it. And it was funny because, you know, the internet is always, you know, they don't take anything serious. It was like a screenshot of somebody DMing Blueface, like, all right, let me figure out what this is all about. Like, basically, like, that thing must be thanging because you got this girl getting your face tattooed on her face. So, yeah, it's wild, man.
You know, it's funny you say that because I've seen people, and I'm talking about people who are in just their matter of matching up with certain folks. And I'm like, that thing gotta be thing.
Because
there's no other way to explain the connection between the two of you. The personality ain't even that great. for it to be a thing. So I'm gonna pray for them. But I'm not gonna lie like that and say that I'm gonna do that. I hope that the woman of God finds a way to get delivered and Yeah, I just, ooh. It's just so sad to see. I mean, she literally got this man's face tattooed on the side of her face.
On her face.
That's for, I mean, it ain't forever because we got technology, but that's forever.
It's forever. And you have a career that you want. And you
allegedly.
Yeah. And like, this nigga's getting sleep. We're supposed to leave. Can we put them in the attic?
We're supposed to leave it.
Can we put them in the attic?
We can put them in the attic.
With Kanye. I will say this.
Are you familiar with Funny Marco?
Yes.
So, you know his whole interviewing style.
Yes, real dry.
And he was real dry, all that kind of stuff, that level of satire. And I forgot how the question came up, but Blueface was like, no, he said, he asked him something about his music, and Blueface was like, do you know any of my music? He was like, name three Blueface songs, or this interview is over. And Funny Marco said, Bust Down Tatiana. Bust Down Tatiana featuring Cardi B. and then he got real quiet. Look, I'm like, nobody knows your music outside of Bust Down Tatiana. Nobody, that is literally the only song.
And that's the thing, is like, you're not.
And I'm like, and based on who Blueface is, the remix of Cardi B is actually a very valuable valuable answer. Like,
he can't even rap. He's like Silk the Shocker. Like, it's not even good. It's not even good music.
The difference between Blueface and Silk the Shocker, let me just say this, because Silk the Shocker couldn't find a beat if you put it in front of him.
Yeah.
But Silk the Shocker had people who believed in him. He had a brother who believed in him.
He did.
Blueface just out here. Okay. Out here. So at least we can say, this is my brother, I'm putting him on. Blueface did this by himself.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I say it all the time. I want somebody to believe in me the way Master P believed in Silk the Shocker. That's a level of faith and support. Mm-hmm. That man had solo albums.
He did.
That man had verses on No Limit tracks. Mm-hmm. He was out here. People know Silk the Shocker.
Do. They do.
And if this was the beat, that's Silk the Shocker. Right. He's just over there. He's just over there doing
the worst.
Thing.
The worst.
Speaking of music, real quick, let's moonwalk back to the Super Bowl for half a second.
Yeah.
Top five songs you want to hear from Usher
during this
and one guest appearance. If you could IDA one guest and the top five songs you want to hear. Go.
One guest?
Mm-hmm. He might bring out more than one, but who is the one person you just gotta see if he brings anybody out?
And that's the thing, is I'm trying to think, who has he done a song with that I really want to see?
I can tell you mine.
Go for it.
I want to see Breezy come out.
I would be okay with that.
I know it's a long shot.
Blue Flame.
I want to see Chris Brown come out.
New Flame, that's what we doing?
New Flame and Party. Yeah. No, Party, yeah. They got New Flame. No, Party's with Gucci. They got two songs together.
I feel like.
Yes.
Give me City Girls.
That'll be interesting.
If he does
City Girls at the Super Bowl.
Exactly. It's because if his residency was for the culture.
It is Party. I know what I'm talking about. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
His residency, it was Atlanta. So it had the strippers and stuff like that. Would that be able to be done on the Super Bowl halftime show? I doubt it.
We saw Janet's, but that was, you know.
Yeah.
That was at a time, and that was a mistake.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of song. Like, all the songs I like, they won't play on the Super Bowl. Like, I like Superstar and Throwback. He might do Throwback.
He gotta play Superstar.
Yeah.
He gotta play Superstar.
Yeah.
That's a fan favorite.
There's this
he gonna
dude,
do Good Good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's like a new song.
There's a dude on TikTok.
A great song.
He has so many songs though. Like, he has so many songs to choose from. There was this dude on TikTok. His name was Lamano. Is a white dude, gay white dude. Can't think of his name. But I love his content. And he kind of gave what he thought the Usher Super Bowl halftime show would be, and it was kind of accurate to what I felt like it would be. If I find it, I'll send it to you. But it was good. But I don't know the song. I can't think of any songs right now that I feel like will be there. But Superstar would one I would definitely want. Confessions, I love Confessions. My Way,
these
not My
are
Way.
My Confessions.
You make me want to leave. I feel like he needs to give us.
He can bring out. He can bring out Summer. They could do a mashup.
Yeah.
Of that song.
Yeah, I feel like he can.
You make me want to come through. Gonna have to do. Uh huh. That's a moment.
Give us. It's 15 minutes. So give us, you know, you have like, it's like really a minute a song. You know what I'm saying? He can do it though.
You know who else I would be mad at? And it's just gonna sound like I'm a stan, but I'm not. Mm. They don't even have a song together. It's Beyonce. I would love to see that. I would love to just see. You know how Bruno brought out Beyonce? They didn't have a song together. She just kind of did her thing. I would love like a little boom.
Well, Love in His Club. They had a song together.
She was over there dancing. Beyonce of today is not going to be standing to the side dancing with no dang old Usher. Okay, Blue Ivy is not going to let that happen. Okay,
right. That's funny.
But you know, her husband is he still producing the Super Bowl?
He's doing the things.
Halftime show. So who knows?
He's doing the things.
I mean, and Beyonce gonna be there. She gonna be there, but she ain't touring right now. She gonna be in Vegas.
Yeah. Should be.
Anyway, so that's the GOAT. Last but not least, saw it on TikTok. It's kind of a sad story, but a woman entered Walmart. It's like 20 degrees. I want to say it was in Jackson, Mississippi. And that baby only had on a diaper.
Jesus.
And of course, everybody not only was watching, people started asking her questions like, what is going on? I think at one point I saw a TikTok video where a woman went in the kids section, bought like a coat and put it on that baby real quick.
Yeah.
And things like that. And I think some people were saying it was a mental illness. Other people were saying that it's just pure neglect. And this is nothing more than me to just say, this is where I really will invoke the prayer warriors. Pray for it. Because even if it wasn't a mental illness, something is terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that baby, because the mama was fully dressed.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. This baby to walk out the house with nothing but, and it was, that baby was shivering.
Yeah.
In that basket. So it was just, it was super sad to see. And I know that parents face different things, you know, that can cause us to be overwhelmed. And because we parent, Brian, you parent. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, it's not for the faint of heart.
No.
But I don't know that I would ever leave my house with my child like that. Right. So something about that really bothered my spirit a little bit. I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It's tough out here.
It is.
It's tough out here.
Yeah, it is. I don't know if they have anything to add to that, but that's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. And you want, shout out to that person that wanted to go buy the kids some clothes. Cause I feel like any right human being who saw that would go buy a whole outfit. And maybe some.
And you're in Walmart, so you it was cheap. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can do it real quick. Yeah.
Multiple outfits. I would have just, ma'am, here. You know what I mean? And I would also probably call the police though too. Like I know.
I think somebody did.
Yeah.
And that was. And I'm always so. I teeter that line of calling police on black people.
Yeah.
Because of our history with the police, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, what else do you do now? If it was Asher, now Monogawa would have said social work would have kicked in and went into action.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have had to do nothing. but yeah, to your point, shout out to the people who were not the people who were just berating her, but the people who like stepped over like, forget all that. Let's get this baby some clothes.
Yeah.
We can figure out the other parts later. Mm-hmm. So
agree.
Anyway, prayers up to them. Hopefully things are well and
yes, touch God.
Gets the help and resources that she needs to support her child.
Yep.
Something happened. So last Friday.
Okay.
I think I told Brian.
Yeah,
that he kind of went up because I think he misinterpreted what I was saying because I gave a little pause. But it'd be at midnight when I listen to new music on Thursdays. And this past Thursday night, was I up? I think I was up. Yeah, and I heard Hiss, Megan Thee Stallion's new song.
Yeah,
it's an okay song. Like it's not like it doesn't go down in my favorites. But you know, it's Meg and Meg is flowing, Meg is rapping, Meg is doing her thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up on first listen at midnight, I picked up a few like shots. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I listened to it again Friday morning, like legit Friday morning, like 8, 9 o'clock. And I said, ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Then I start now my TikTok, I gotta fix my TikTok because my TikTok is full of Meg and Nicki. It's just Nicki Minaj. Within 10 minutes, had started to spiral for 72 hours straight about one line that Megan did not even mention Nicki's name in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was these mad at Megan, they're really mad at Megan's Law. Uh-huh. People know Megan's Law to be, you know, pretty much a law for sexual offenders who have to register themselves, blah, 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 blah. Nicki, after her spiraling and tweeting and knowing all this other kind of stuff going out of control, she released a diss track of her own on Sunday evening called Bigfoot.
Yeah.
As she previewed it, it was something like, I call her Bigfoot. She on her 6 foot. I said, so the daughter get up on her good foot.
Yeah.
You know, a very Nicki Minaj bar.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I'm setting this up because this week's Living Room is me and Brian can't not talk about the Meg.
We can't talk about it. It's too big not to talk about it. It's a thing.
We want to have a greater conversation around handling beef and disagreement and what it means to respond or not to respond to how we grow. Because I think as adults, we may not ever get called out like a Nicki or Meg, but there will be times where we will have to address people where things will happen from the past that, you know, conversation needs to be had. And the other person may not always respond in a way, right, that is positive or constructive or things like that. So for the first time in 2024, because we didn't have an official living room last year, grab your snacks. I got my tea. Grab whatever it is that you need to go in the living room and let's have this good conversation.
Let's do it.
All right, good people, we are here at the living room, and you already know what's up, so I'm not going to give you too many preliminaries. Brian, just your thoughts real quick, since we're using this incident as a framework.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on the beef between Meg and Nicki. And just for some context, I believe, people are saying, when did it start? I believe we can pinpoint it back at 2021 when WAP came out.
Yes, yes.
Because Meg and Nicki were coolish, and they did the Hot Girl Summer, which was... It's not a good song. Now, but Nicki's verse was bad, but the song itself just wasn't that great.
Yeah.
But then when Meg did a song with Cardi, of course, Nicki feel like your enemy got to be her enemy.
Yeah.
And the only person I feel like she won't do this with is Beyonce. Even though Beyonce don't have a song with Cardi, I feel like if they did, like, what you gonna do to me? What you gonna say? Because the bars ain't finna the beehive.
The barbers,
different level.
The barbers are not fooling with the beehive. It's
And it's the thing. And the barbers are teenagers, technically. The beehive is grown.
Yeah,
they grown. They evolve. I don't think you want that smoke.
Nah,
and then I don't think you even want that smoke culturally to come after her just because she would do a song with Cardi or whomever.
Right.
Anyway, but we can pinpoint it back there. So starting at that point, Brian, and up until what we know today, Nicki has had a few references.
Yeah.
To Meg and a couple of songs.
Yeah.
The Red Ruby the Sleeve, she was like, you know, I ain't messed with horses since Christopher Reeves, which people thought was super iconic. But like, if you're not old enough to know what happened to Christopher Reeves, then the bar kind of missed. There was a couple other times I think she called her Bigfoot in the past or some other stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyway, your thoughts holistically around the situation.
Nicki, I'm trying to think I started Nicki or Meg first. Nicki has been throwing shots, like I said, for a while. Meg has been keeping, for the most part, silent. Hasn't really been. She's kind of respected Nicki in the place in her platform, in her space.
Yeah,
in my opinion, she's kind of respected her as, you know, the queen of hip hop that she is, the reigning queen of hip hop. Right. She did come out kind of swinging on this song where she talked about Mariah.
Wasn't all kind of swinging.
Yeah. You knew who she was talking about. You know what I'm saying? But at a certain point, it's kind of like the bully. You got to fight the bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And this is hip hop. So you don't let stuff slide after a certain point. You know what I'm saying? Even the freaking backpack rappers don't let, you know, beef slide. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Common has had beef with Ice Cube and, you know, Kendrick has had beef with, you know, other folks. You know what I'm saying?
Like Common and Ice Cube.
Right. So, you know, beef is in hip hop is a thing. But I feel like, you know, we've said this on the podcast for the last like 2-3 years. Like Nicki just does too much. Mm-hmm. Like you don't have to make enemies. Like no one wants to be your enemy. We say be Rihanna. We say be Beyonce. We say, heck, be Cardi. You know what I'm saying? Like, Cardi don't bother nobody. She just goes on the internet and just talks. And she defends herself. But like, Nicki, like, you don't got to reply to us. You ain't got to respond to us. You can ignore us. We really don't want to see you act this way. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We don't want to see you act this way. So I feel like it was the time was going to come. And to me, the issue is it's always Nikki against somebody. It's always Nikki against somebody. So you're the problem.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
You're the reason why we don't have a women's hip hop tour. You're the reason why we don't have Ladies Night 2. You're the reason why there's not the unity in women's rap. You could have unity and still have, you know, competition, right? In women's rap today, because you are the person who's gonna be the mother. The you call yourself the mother, you know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't acting motherly. You son up or you daughter up like Ice Spice's, people you know who not gonna ever, you know, cross you or don't have the bars or don't have the talent to, you know, ever come against you. You don't bar up other people who can really rap. You know what I'm saying? You try to bar up. Are we going to talk about the song? Am I going too much? Am I going too deep into this?
No. Go ahead. Go ahead. Do your thing.
Even Bigfoot wasn't even good. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't. Like, you had some lines that were solid.
Yeah.
But overall, it was kind of like, to your word, you said spiral. Like, it was kind of like you just went in the studio and you try to pull all your different voice bags out, like tricks out, you know, trying to give the thing, but it wasn't even like, it was kind of like you spiraled. And then you had the moment where you were just talking and you kind of like, it got weird. And at the end, you just talking about,
I can't.
And then you went on social media, tagging Tasha Cobbs. And what Tasha do? What did he say? Now, why y'all bring me into
this? Nah, like it is. See how my name get in the stuff?
I'm talking so much because it's just so, it's so much. It's so much. And I saw recently that it's the number one, you know, Bigfoot is the number one song because we just nosy. It's not a good song. We're just nosy.
So here's the thing.
Back to you.
I get it.
So much.
I agree with everything that you said. So I do agree. I do. And there's parts of me that believes that a couple of lines were aimed toward Nikki. There was a few lines aimed toward Drake too.
Right.
Like, a lot of that was at Drake after looking at it and researching it. But I think what we can speculate all we want.
Yeah.
Meg didn't say nobody's name. Mm-mm. And you know how many artists have sexual assault offenses and stuff?
Oh yeah.
Like while we can point it at Nikki, right?
Mm-hmm.
That could have applied to so many people. So when she got on her Breakfast Club interview and said a hit dog will holler, that's exactly what Nikki did. Like she exposed herself in a sense. Yeah. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, Bigfoot was not a good diss track.
Uh-uh.
Right? It was just not a good diss track.
It was no
bad. The only credit I give her was the fact that she didn't recruit Wayne and Drake like she did with No Frauds to come at Remy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She did it by herself.
Yeah.
That's the only credit I give her. And to your point, she had some good lines, but those lines didn't even hit for me because the big lines she had already tweeted. Mm-hmm. She let us hear the Bigfoot, little foot, get up on your good foot line. She let us hear if you want to beat Megan Raw or something like that. Megan Law is you want to get a good beat, you can hit Megan Raw. Like all the stuff that kind of hit.
Mm-hmm.
Or could have hit, she had already tweeted out.
Yeah.
So it's like we weren't even like, ooh, because
you are
spiraled out of control for 72 hours.
Yeah.
The other part of that was that it wasn't outside of those one or two moments, like you said, Brian, it wasn't good. Like the part where she was like, you mess up with the queen and then you will go and talking to the king. Stop. Gail. I was like
what are we doing?
What is this pause? Like, I'm gonna get up in your butt. Clench. I'm like, and then the worst part, even though this is gravely disrespectful, but also the most unhinged way to end a song. You lie, no, you're dead, mom. You are your dead mom. Lie, no, you're dead, mom. You know you're dead. I was like, Nikki.
What? It was so bad.
It was just all over the place. It was all over the place. And then, like you said, this, she got on that podcast mic and gave us that monologue. And she started whispering. And she started doing all those things.
It was so much. It was like as if she was like literally spiraling. Like,
she was, people have alleged that she's on drugs. And I think in an interview, she admitted she struggled with drugs in some recent interview she did. But like, it was just so all over the place. And And to your point, she's talking about the numbers and the views and the video. You're absolutely right. Not only are we nosy, but this is a culture that's also like I told you, I went back and listened to Meg's record like two or three times. I needed to hear those bars. Yeah. People are going back and dissecting Bigfoot, even though it's not like they're not dissecting it because it was so great. They're literally picking it apart so they can have their think pieces on TikTok and talk about how much they didn't like it, right? So it's getting a lot of replay because of that, number one. Number two, to your credit, you are Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
And you've proven time and time again, no matter how good or bad a song is, your music will do numbers. It doesn't mean, numbers don't mean, Drake just set a record for one of the only artists in history to ever spend like 20 years or so many odd years on the freaking, I think 10 years, 12 years, whatever it is, on the Billboard. Mm-hmm. Drake has put out some terrible, Tootsie Slide was not a good song.
Wasn't.
Like, I don't care how many numbers it did. It could have went quadruple platinum. It was a bad song.
Yeah.
Did it get some of the people going? Yeah. Did it have us like sliding across our living rooms during the pandemic? Sure.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a good song. Hotline Bling was catchy, but at its core, it wasn't a good song. Mm-mm. So my point is, like, bad songs can become popular and do numbers. And of course, again, to your credit, Nicki Minaj, you have proven that you can do numbers on top of the fact that this is a rap beef. So you got people like me and Chris talking about the song. Chris, who don't even listen to Nicki Minaj, gave you maybe one or two streams that you never would have gotten from somebody else. How many other people who never listened to you, like my big sister Rashonda, gave you a stream because I heard her talk about it. Rashonda can't stand Nicki Minaj's music, right? But you got, that's at least three streams right there.
Mm-hmm.
I know that you got, and multiply that times the many people who are similar to them in their thoughts.
Yeah.
Who gave that song a listen just for the fact they wanted to hear it so they can commentate on it, so they can be up to date with culture, blase, blase, blase. Before we stop talking about them specifically and just use this as a framework and a basis, I do want to say this. It took me down a rabbit hole of listening to diss tracks, specifically those against Nicki Minaj.
Okay.
Sheether, at its core, was not that great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan of Remy's flow, and Remy can rap, but I'm just not a big fan of her.
Yeah.
But I will say the lines that Remy gave, it was a homicide. double homicide.
She came. Because
I was listening to it last night, and I was like this flow is kind of okay. But like these bars, and was she like, how do you explain a 360 deal in a rap and make it cut like Remy kill? Now, I'm going to tell you one. Rap. Remy can rap. I'm just not the hugest fan of Remy, so I'm like, Sheether as a body of work is just okay. But Sheether as a diss track is top tier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let me tell you one that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
That I went back to and I set with.
Mm-hmm.
Lil' Kim's Black Friday. Lil' Kim, Kimberly emptied the chamber.
You got it.
Onika, the Kimberly emptied the chamber, and she starts off like calling. That's and they called out names, like. And here's the thing. I'm gonna ask you a question specifically about this. I think this is another reason why Nicki spiraled.
Right.
You said she liked the sun up people like the Ice Spice and them like that. She tried to do it with Megan, and we had hope. Like, oh my God, she's collaborating with a woman rapper who can actually rap, who is emerging in talent and popularity, blah, 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 blah. It ain't a, like you said, it ain't an Ice Spice, it ain't a Coil Ray, it ain't a Bia, you know, that kind of stuff, right? It's somebody who can really go. And then, of course, she, you know, Meg was like, I ain't got a problem with Cardi, let's do this song. And then, of course, it all went downhill. What was I about to say? I lost my point giving her that piece of credit. Anyway, I will say, let me just ask you this question.
Okay.
So in terms of just beef and how we handle things, we know the phrase, a hit dog's gonna holler.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Right? For you, now that you will respond like Nicki, and spiral out of control and do all these different types of things, what would make you, not that anything will make you holler, but is there something subliminally that someone could say that will make you pop up out of nowhere and respond in a visceral way?
I feel like if it's a lie, like a outright lie, but people believe it to be truth, then you got to speak up. Like you got to, because some things can be a lie that are just so like, there's,
like the MJ thing, it's a lie. They're making that, you know, the TikTok thing on Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
They're making it up. But we knew he was lying. But there are some things to where, because clearly I think it was lying. But there are some things, that like to where in certain society, people would believe it. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like if anything, all you have is your name, you have your character, you have your word. Yeah. And nowadays, we're brands. We didn't know this back in the day. We're brands, right? We have a podcast. We have we're in ministry. We have our careers, and things could affect your brand. It's big or small. So if it's something out there where I feel like it's so far fetched that there's no way possible, I wouldn't say anything. But if it's something to where, even if it's far fetched to where I know it's fake, but people start to believe it, then I feel like you got to kind of be like, all right, now, like, let's not do that. And I feel like also you'd have to hit me a bunch of times. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I don't know if, because Hit Dog with Holler basically means it's kind of like something that they're hitting, pointing at you, that's kind of real. But
that's kind of real. They did call your name out, but you're not saying,
you know,
yeah.
You know it's you.
You know it's you.
You know it's you.
I think the only way you could get me to holler is if we were like, let's just say me and you fell out.
Yeah.
And you wrote a Facebook post and were basically subbing me. I'm going to holler because everybody at this point is going to, that's like we kind of, like you said, everybody knew it was about Nikki. I'm not going to spiral.
Yeah.
But I'm going to holler in terms of maybe just a defense. Right. Because to your point, if you know it's about me, whether it's true or not, and it could be true, I'm going to at some point at least address the situation.
Yeah.
Whether it is a very, you know, buttoned up public relations polished type statement, whether I, you know, I don't know that I'm going to go online and like, I'm not going to be up 72 hours, Brian, tweeting you. You know what I'm saying?
You're going to do a Facebook Live?
And my, you know,
Come on in, y'all. Let me, you know, address
and
this.
Tagging my pastor for the prayer wars. I got smoking off on my side. I'm not going to do all of that, right? But I do think, but in terms of defending yourself, and I'm going to say this for both Nikki and Meg, like on Nikki's case, just using this as a framework, I'm not saying that you deserve for your family or your husband to be attacked at every turning point.
Yeah.
But you also knew
exactly
who you got in a relationship with.
Yes.
Not only did you marry this gentleman, you also had a baby by him.
Yeah.
Not only does your husband have this issue, your biological brother has this same issue.
Yeah.
Not only does your biological brother have this issue, you have a documented history of trying to use your influence, fame, money, resources to silence those who were affected by said issue, right? Allegedly, whether that's true or not. So my point is that in that case, it's, you know, I'm not saying that people should live a life walking on eggshells, but it is to suggest that there are times we have to be very careful about what we say, what we do, how we act, because there's so much, like if you got all of that in you, it's easy.
Yeah.
It's and I'm not saying people are right to come at you and blah, you know, and just kind of stab you, you know, because your husband did that, but you did make certain choices.
Yeah.
You did make certain alignments, right?
Right.
And we can argue whether or not, you know, whether we forgive a person that was in their past, ABC 123.
Right.
But when you couple that history, and that history for someone who's listening, that may not be your history, but if you have a history of being mean or, you know, you sold drugs in the past, or as the woman said on the Kojic testimony, she was, you know, giving oral sex with a mouth. And these are the kind of things that people know about you, good, bad, and different in your past. But then on top of that, you're now a mean person, evil spirited, bully, blah, blah, blah. You do crazy stuff. When you get attacked, we coming for the low hanging fruit. That is the unfortunate part of humanity right now, right?
Yeah.
And then, but to Meg's credit, like you said, she left you alone for about 3 years.
Yeah.
After WAP, and you went, you know, start doing your subliminal shade and little sub tweets and one or two lines in a song, you kept poking that bear that was Megan Thee Stallion. And she, if you listen to Hiss in this opening track, she says, I'm gonna get this off my chest, I'm about to lay it out. And she laid it all out. She addressed every single person who she could have possibly had beef with. And she gave you really about one and a half line, and you went out of this world. And I'm this is the point I wanted to make. You went out of this world, and this is the last time I'm going to address that specifically, because I want really us to talk about conflict resolution and things like that.
Yeah.
But she spiraled for a few, I believe, for a few reasons, Brian. One, Lil' Kim is a legend, but at the time, Lil' Kim was not relevant. Mm-mm. And y'all can say what y'all want to say about Lil' Kim, but when Nicki came out and when they start having their beef, Lil' Kim, they have nothing on the radio. Mm-mm. Lil' Kim, every Lil' Kim song we were playing was stuff we knew and liked from the past.
Yeah.
Lil' Kim just dropped an album maybe 3-4 years ago. Who knows what it did? Who knows what it is, right? Nobody does. Not to say that it was bad, but it's just Lil' Kim just ain't, she ain't Jay-Z.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? We heard Jay-Z might be putting out an album soon. The internet is going crazy.
Yeah, we're waiting for it.
Lil' Kim ain't Jay-Z, right? She just doesn't have that kind. She ain't Mary J. Blige, mm-mm, right? Comparing woman to woman who've been in the game all that time and could drop something new. And, you know, Mary J. Blige just was nominated for a Grammy last year, right? Lil' Kim ain't even invited to the Grammy. And this is no shade to Lil' Kim, but I'm saying to say, like, Nicki didn't spiral because Lil' Kim wasn't relevant,
mm-hmm,
right? Yeah. And she wasn't, it wasn't going to, Remy, again, Remy could out-rap her, but Remy also wasn't relevant. What about Remy at the time, her biggest claim to fame at the time was a Love and Hip Hop New York star.
Yeah.
No shade, but it's just what it was. And Remy has never been a big artist. She had some big times with
Fat Joe
and Big Pun and all of them, right, in that crew. And this doesn't discredit who she is, but Remy never blew up even to the levels of Lil' Kim and Foxy Brown. Right. So when they had their beef, Remy was not even at the height of her career in rap. She was more known for a Love and Hip Hop actress, right?
Right?
And then Cardi, here comes Cardi. Now, Cardi is a viable opponent, but Cardi don't write. And we can speculate that Nicki has a ghostwriter, but Cardi has been out loud and very honest that she don't write. So Nicki wasn't worried or scared because her biggest comeback is going to be,
I write my bars.
You didn't write that anyway. So if Cardi did come out with a full diss track, which Cardi hasn't done, right? Cardi threw a few shots here in songs, but everybody would know it wouldn't land the same because everybody would know, Cardi, you didn't do this, right? So, so I think that's why Meg made her spiral, because not only did Meg write it, Meg has like the fan base, she has a success, right? And she may not have the barbs, but she got her hotties and all this. Like, Meg is not no just random rapper out here, right?
She going on tour this summer.
She's going on tour. She's endorsed by Beyonce. She's got Rock Nation behind her. Like, you know, and I'm sure this album. Yeah, and her couple of albums that she had, like, they're solid bodies of work.
Grammy Award winner, you know.
Yeah, Meg has not put out any terrible, like, Hot Girl Summer wasn't a good song, but it wasn't like trash. Meg has not put out any, like, just straight up terrible music. So that leads me to my next question in terms of just like having beef with someone. Let me ask you this. What would constitute you, like, if somebody, like, I don't know, threw a subtle shot at you, would that constitute beef with them? Or would you be like, hey, I'm going to talk to them first? And even if it did constitute beef, what is your reaction to a person who's quote unquote maybe flipped on you or switched it up?
I would hit them up and be like, are we good? Like, what's up? I'm not confrontational, but I'm not afraid of confrontation. I think all my people that are close to me know, like, you know, I'm a nice guy, but like, I'm not afraid to be like, hey, what's good? Like, let's talk for a second. I'm not afraid of beef. I'm not afraid of like not liking somebody either. I think, I guess the question was like, how do I address beef? That was
just, how would you respond to somebody flipping on you, and then what constitutes beef for you?
Beef is really like you just having an issue with me, like, and it could be for calls or not for calls. Like, sometimes it could be miscommunication. It's really just somebody having an issue with you. And some people, like, you can't have one side of people. Yeah, you can have one side of people. There's people you probably don't like. I don't like. They probably got no beef with me, but I have a beef with them. I don't F with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's the thing. Like, there's people you really don't like. It's if you die today, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Like, all that stuff. Like, piss on the grave, everything. I don't care.
But I think that's really what the beef, Constance's beef to me is like, we have an ought against somebody. Either be, they've done something to you. I love the word
ought, by the way.
Ought, you like that word? It's biblical.
It's so good. I got ought against them. Yeah, it's so good.
Get ought against your brother later. That's awesome. Let me get some awesome. No, but I feel like if you have an issue, like it's just an issue. Any issue you may have with somebody, that a dislike and disagreement, you know, that's a beef. That's, we back in the day, me and Chris, we used to have this on our list. Like, oh, that nigga's on my list. Like, of a, you know, ish list, or you know, we don't that nigga list. And we all have them. There's people out there right now that like, and they probably don't even know your name, but I know your name. and we don't. We ain't, if we ever come in contact again. It may not be on site, but it's definitely going to be on some. You're going to know that there's a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, so I have levels of when I don't care for a person. Mm-hmm. So there are people who you just meet and you automatically know them ain't my people.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily dislike you. I've observed you. I've been around you. And I know that based on who I am, you and I would not get along. And if we have to get along, it's because we are in situations, church, work, fraternity, where mutual friend even, where I have to be cordial. But don't ever mistake this for being anything. And if you happen to sneeze at me wrong, it can develop into us actually just not liking each other at all. Right. Because there's just some personalities and people that don't, it don't mean I'm going to be mean, rude, nasty to you. It just means that I'm disinterested in hanging out. I'm disinterested in ever just developing anything more than whatever circumstance brought us to this space. That's all that means. And the fact that we're connected through a person or through an organization don't mean that we have to. It can stay right here, fam.
Listen.
I just don't care. You're not my person. That's a level. The second one is that after you actually get to know someone and then things have transpired. They're not of good moral character, you know, based on what you believe, right? You know, you see how they treat other people. You be like, you know, that's the thing. And then that last level is when I really don't like you is when we've had legitimate beef.
Yeah.
And that could be because we argued over, so there was a disagreement that, you know, not necessarily resolved. It was not just an agree to disagree over a senseless opinion, like, you know, sugar and grits versus salt and pepper and grits, but like, agree to disagree over probably some fundamental thing impacting who we are and our human, you know, our humanhood. I found out you lied on me behind my back, or some type of jealousy, you know, something like that. What comes to me not liking you? Yeah. We had a mutual friend that I met through you from your home state that moved here. That situations changed between he and I, because it was like it was every time, it was like there were moments where this person would say something and I'd be like, I clock it. And it came to a head after a certain moment, and I was just like, I don't fool with them. And my wife was like, but yeah, you know the person. My wife was like,
they have real hair?
Not anymore. And my wife was like, babe, but you gotta be like this. I said, I'm gonna be nice because we're in a group, but I don't fool with them. I don't like them because, and here's the reasons why. Yeah. Right. And I had documented evidence of, and I don't know.
Yeah.
What it was, and I've asked this person before, what is your problem? I ain't got no problem. We good. And I'm like, well, why do you do these things? Why did you say this thing? So since you can't explain it, I'm gonna shut it down.
Yeah.
And we're gonna be done. For me, betrayal is the thing that'll really make me not like you. And it's not even you holding my deepest, darkest secret. It could be something of like, for example, there's this gentleman at the gym, in my former gym. He's a part of the LGBTQ plus community. DM me on some cool stuff. Like, hey man, you killed it today. I was like, yeah, cool. Thank you very much. And he was like, we should go do drinks. He's one of them people to where like, I don't want to say I got friends in the LGBTQ community because that sounds like you got that one friend. Right. But I really do. Like, I got homies and stuff.
We live in Atlanta. Like, a good portion of our friends are
good. I really do. Or in the community. I got, you know what I'm saying? In the community, right? I work in media, blase, blase, blase. So, like, that wasn't my issue.
Yeah.
This particular person, I was just disinterested in building a friendship or rapport from. And based on some previous interactions, I was almost 99% positive that this message of saying I killed at the gym was a way to quote unquote shoot your shot. So when you ask to do drinks or hang out, I was like, no, I'm good. And I was like, I don't even drink like that anyway, which is one is very true. And two, I wasn't even drinking wine the particular month you asked me because I was like, I had this fitness goal. I wasn't doing anything. And they was like, oh, okay, cool. From that moment, like literally, I would go to gym and I would feel like, hey man, how you doing? Like, would literally look me in my face and keep walking. We would get in circles of people and would speak to everybody in the circle except me. And literally, this is the only time we've had, like, it was literally legit after this interaction. So I'm thinking like, did I? So then I get in my petty bag. When you do that, I call your name out. Well, hello, insert name here. How you doing? Right? So then I find out in a separate setting, you was in a setting saying stuff about me that wasn't true. Like just trying to throw me under the bus all because you felt, likely you felt rejected. And whatever you thought you wanted, you couldn't, you felt some kind of way. And like, but here's the thing. Like, so I understand people who are, that's what I'm looking for. Immature, can't handle certain things. But like, here's the thing. I don't owe you my space.
At all.
I don't owe you the opportunity to sit with me, to have coffee with me, to do any, I don't owe, like, here's the thing. It may sound harsh, but I don't owe you the chance of that.
Right.
If I don't want to have lunch with you, if I don't want to go to drink with you, I don't have to do it. It don't mean I don't like you. I just don't. I am disinterested in developing whatever this is. Right. And some people can't handle that, but it's just true. I don't have any issues with you. I just don't want to. I don't want to do that. Right. And I wasn't rude to the person. I was anything. But from that, they took it as something huge. And now, you know, you're creating rumors and blah, 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 blah about me. And I say that to say that right there, to your point, to what you said, if they died, I wouldn't care. Like, that puts me in that category. Like, I don't, like, you don't even exist. You're nothing to me. Right now. You don't exist to me. Now, again, that's how a beef can get started. Am I harboring unforgiveness? Oh, absolutely not. I don't have any, like, ill will. Like, I want to kill you or every time I see you, I hate you. I just, I love you enough to make it to heaven.
Whatever
that amount is, whatever that amount is what I have.
Right.
I love you based on your humanity. Let me say it that way. So those, like, that's real. And I say that to say, I give that example. Like, that's one of the ways. Those are two of those two examples. That's the ways to get beef with me, for us to, like, have some interaction and then you flip and go crazy because it didn't go in your favor. Like, it wasn't rude. It just wasn't favorable for you. So now you mad, or there's some type of jealousy or underlying emotion against me that you won't communicate. And like, to that mutual friend that we used to have, like, you mad at me about opportunities in an organization that I didn't even ask for. But because you ain't getting them, instead of taking it up with the person who can give them, you take it out on me because I'm getting them. Like, I'm over here, like, kissing asking, babies and, and, like, and asking and all this other kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, like, those are the kind of things that bother me, because it's like, bro, if we're friends, we can talk. Like, hey, Josh, I want to be able to do, what did you do? I'll be like, I didn't do anything. My encouragement is to go have a conversation. Go do this. I mean, I can tell you how I position myself. And maybe that got me noticed. Maybe that got me blah, 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 blah. But I didn't do anything. I didn't write no emails. I didn't go on no campaigns. I just am who I am. So those are the kind of things that are making me not like you. And of course, if you do something to my wife, I am a loyalist. Wife, children, and even my friends. For my friends, though, I will give this small caveat. I can be friends with somebody you don't like. But what I would never allow is for either one of you to talk about each other. To me. I'm not getting in the middle of it. And the additional layer of that is, if it's Brian and it's a newer person, I'm checking the newer person every time. Because my relationship is strong on this. Like, wait a minute. You ain't finna come into this talking about my brother, right? But at the same time, it depends on the level of offense. Because if it was something you really did to Brian, there's no way. There's no way I can be your friend in good conscience. It depends on what it is. But if y'all just, like, don't mess with each other.
Yeah, like that.
Then I'll be like, nah, I just don't even bring y'all around each other.
Yeah, that's life.
That's life. But if it's something that really happened and Brian, me and Brian got this 16, 17 years in the game.
Yeah.
Then it was nice meeting you.
Shout out to Gucci. Shout out to my nigga Gucci.
My nigga Gucci. It was good how it lasted. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, that those are how I kind of categorize beef, because you could, I mean, it takes a lot for me to get, like, angry. I get irritated because I'm pretty, I'll admit, one of my flaws, I could be temperamental, emotional. Not necessarily emotional. I could be moody. But it does, but anger, like real anger, it takes a lot. And when I get there, that ain't the Josh you want to know. That ain't the Josh you want to experience. Now, I could be shady. You can think I'm angry, but I'm not. Are you angry, Josh? Oh, angry Josh is a
that's a nigga.
A different guy. That's what nigga here now. That's that Josh, right?
Nigga here now. That's a good Josh line. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you beefing at the club for what? She left that better than at home.
People bring guns at their wed. You leave guns at their wed. See, people bring guns to the club all the time. And I'm going to tell them, we come to here, we get shot in the place, we going to have a good time, man.
We can go to Bunny Noche. Where can we go?
What? Hazel Bivens is amazing.
You can't talk about beefing and not bringing that up.
We cannot talk about beefing and not bringing it. We got to play that next week. So at what point, Brian, does your response, so now that you are close to 40, right? Now that we know what your definition of beef is, my definition of like beef. And this time was not an ages coming. Not an ages coming. I'm literally just saying we are at these big ages. Like, I'm almost 35. Mm-hmm. You know, you're inching up into a new decade. I think our perspective around how we handle situations are just different, right, in life. Because I'm sure how you handle and respond to stuff at 28 is very different than what 30 is coming up. Very different. Right? Yeah. And for me, approaching 25 is very different than how I would approach 35 in terms of situation. How do you handle conflict resolution today? How does Brian do that? I know you mentioned earlier that you would, if it was a friend, you would hit him up and be like, what's going on? But in general, what does
it's,
that look like?
It's tough because now, I think the older you get, the less people you really deal with. Right? So conflict is not as, I think because now that we're also trying to, we're trying to chase peace. So you kind of choose the people who bring you peace. And people that you can, if you have an issue where you can kind of talk to, like I can name, like I have less than probably 10 people that I'm probably like close to. And that's, and that's adding like wives, like, so it'd be like you and Asha, you know what I'm saying? Like that's adding the extra, you know what I'm saying? Like that's, so I got my mom, my brother, my sister, right? You know, I got Lauren, I'm talking about adults, right? Friends, like close friends. Your spouses, maybe about my in-laws, right? So I don't really deal with a lot of people. So the spaces for conflict don't really exist as much because you kind of weed out those things.
So true.
And you know, and then people like if, you know, I'm hella moody. I may disappear. I may stop talking to people.
I'm trying to see the arrow I just gave. Go ahead.
But y'all are always quick to be like, hey nigga, you all right? You know what I'm saying? But y'all know, like, I'm just that, I'm like a moody, emotional nigga. Like, it just is what it is. But it's not like a beef. It's not, and it's not like I don't dislike anybody. It's just like, that's who I am. So I think the biggest conflict you probably have is with my spouse, you know what I'm saying? Because you live with that person all the time. Maybe a sibling because, you know, y'all just get on my nerves. You know, it's just stuff like that. But the level of conflict is not as high the older you get. Because I think the older you get, the less people, more people fall off. I think you decide to choose peace and you really do more of a job of deciding who you want in your life. And then I have a daughter now too. So you want to, you know, even insulate them from that. So your group is even a little smaller because you really don't want to deal with a lot of people. So I think it's not the fact that I think I've matured. It's the fact that I've kind of like...
Brian says, "Same nigga from Pomona." It's the same nigga.
I'm the same person. It's just I've minimized my I guess circle. But then also too is like we be busy. You know what I'm saying? Like ministry, career, podcast, family. Like what else?
At what point? School. All kinds of stuff.
School. Like what else? We don't have time. We don't really have time for beef, right?
We don't have time for
and then if it's somebody like, and on top to that point, who, like, there's only so many people that I would care, like, if you had all against me, I would care. Chris, I would care. Lauren, I would care. But other than that, like, I don't care. Even at church, like, you ain't speak to me last Sunday. Girl, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of that thing of like, smart circuit smaller, but then also too, you run out of F's. The older you get, the less F's you have. And that's when people be 80 and 90 and they just be cussing people out and not caring. It's that because it's like, you don't really care anymore. So that, I guess that's a long answer to that question. Same. What about you?
No. Yeah. So some of the, I think the only thing that changed for me is that my mouth is still just as slick, if not slicker, because I know new words, I know new phrases. I think I was talking to me and Chris was talking the other week. He was like, "Man, I gotta get better with my shade." I said, "Watch the Housewives." Mm, yeah. That's where mine increased.
Yeah,
but I've always been like a wordsmith that could put words together, but kind of seeing those examples, you know, gave me opportunity to, you know, or watching stuff like, or picking up on stuff like Issa Rae's brother or Issa D's brother in Insecure. Mm-hmm. When he looked at Kelly and said, "Hello, Kelly, you and your coat." Like that, just little stuff. And that's a black people thing. Look at Brian and his glasses, right? Like it's just, and you're like right, and we'd be like, and then you got Brian questioning my glasses. Hey, like, I didn't say nothing else, but we knew it was something, right? So anyway, so I think my shade game is strong, and I've heard one of my favorite other podcasts to say, real shade throws itself. Right? I ain't even really got to do nothing. I'd be like, I saw them in their wig. And that's all I gotta say. And just for example, the Deion Sanders be like, "Oh, that's when you still had 10 toes." Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
It's a fact. I ain't make up nothing. And Brian was like, "Not in Black History Month." Like he knew, right? Real shade throws itself. I didn't have to make up anything and be fancy. Mm-hmm. So I think my shade game is stronger because I will drop a one liner and walk away on you. Like
shade that's the one thing too.
That has changed. And also shade is true. Shade is never really focused in hyperbole. It is always.
It is what it is.
Always. It's always true. But no, I think for the most part, I have a conversation with me. If you're bothered by me, I would rather us have the conversation than to walk around tense.
Yeah.
Especially if we have relationships. So to your point, I don't deal with a whole lot of people in close proximity.
Yeah.
So for those who I could have beef with, I don't think it'd ever get to the level of beef. If I feel that it is something, right, then I'm going to call it out. I'm going to say it. Maybe not be in that exact moment, but I want to talk about it because I value our relationship so much that I don't want to be in the place where I'm, you know, shout out Nicki Minaj, spouting out of control and going crazy. Like I don't ever want to be in that space with my friends. I think the only time other beef could come up is the example that I just gave. Like you're in new spaces. Like I tell people all the time, when I was at that gym, or even when I'm going to the gym now by myself, I ain't got no friends there. But bro, I think I saw a meme, how men make friends at the gym. It started off, you walk past each other, you don't speak.
Yeah.
Next time you be like, you do the black man head nod. The next time you dapping them up. The next time you bring them in. Next time you be like, hey bro, how you feeling? And then y'all have a little mini conversation. It don't mean that we friends. That's just like some of the natural progression of like human interaction. Because I go to the gym around the same time, I won't say that I built community, but there's about 6 or 7 people who I see all the time where it's like, what up, man? How you doing? I see you, bro. What you working on today? I'm doing chest. Or I'm doing legs. Like, that's the extent of the conversation. Right. So I don't go to these places looking for community, but it doesn't mean you won't build some type of community.
Right.
I say all that to say, the example I gave about my former gym, it was a black-owned gym. A lot of us, it was hundreds of people came. There was a core. I mean, thousands of people that came.
Yeah.
There was a core, maybe 100 or so, that was really like there. Mm-hmm. People knew them. They were up front, blah, 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 blah. And I was always pretty low key, but like I'm competitive. So I performed well. So people got to know me, this, and the third. So in that case, you may make a acquaintance.
Yeah.
So it is situations like that where you begin to become communal with people. And then that can instigate maybe an issue.
Yeah.
But that's based on circumstance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't looking for that. No. Right. Again, no. I wasn't searching for that. Mm-mm. Right. That was something that happened and then boom, right? Whatever, whatever. But that was circumstantial. It is what it is. But for the most part, most of the people who I'll even say my writing jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Because the company that I work for is really, I ain't gonna say it's laid back as if we don't care, but it's a real cool, chill environments, black owned, all that kind of stuff. So we'll have like laughing conversations via Slack or whatever, but that's the extent. Like once the workout was in, we ain't chatting, we ain't texting. Mm-hmm. I know like 2 people from that job who I like communicate with on a more consistent, who got my phone number, we communicate with on system.
Right.
Everybody else is literally via Slack channel or email.
Yeah.
And so that's to your point, there's no opportunity for real beef.
No,
because it's confined to, and if we have a work agreement, we handle that in a work appropriate disagreement. We have that in a work appropriate way. And if I end up like there are some people at my main 9-to-5 who I don't care for, but I just don't deal with them.
Yeah.
I deal with them when I have to work with them. When I don't have to work with them, and I'm remote too. I ain't never got to see you. And if I do see you in the office, it's hey, John Doe, and I'm going about my business. I'm out of town next week for a conference with my job, and there's gonna be a lot of us there. I'm sure I'm gonna see them. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna see a lot of folk. But if I see somebody who ain't my favorite person, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And it really is good to see you because I don't like hate you, and I never see you in the office. So that's a very honest statement from you too. Also, from a humanity standpoint, you ain't dead. Folk dying, ain't never died before. So, low key, it's kind of good to see you. But that's it. We don't need nothing else from each other. So, to your point, I love the fact that you pointed out that my proximity reduces the opportunity for beef.
Yeah.
It doesn't say that it couldn't happen. My conflict resolution methods is really through conversation because most of the time it is going to be with people who I really love.
Yeah.
So because I want to maintain and preserve those relationships and friendships, I'm going to work in a way that does it. And if one of those type of friendships breaks down for whatever reason, then that would be, it takes me to a grieving process.
Yeah.
To grieve the relationship. But I hope to not ever get to that. Now I have had some friendships that have changed over the years.
Yeah.
And we're not as close as we used to be, but it wasn't no beef. It was growth on both ends.
Right.
And we don't dislike each other. It's just we don't talk as much.
Right.
But when we do talk, we pick up where we left off and we kind of, keep it moving. Last thing was an excellent way to transition to the last question about this. I don't know that Nikki and Meg are ever going to move on, especially on Nikki's front. Because I believe Meg probably could resolve him. I believe Cardi, using him as an example, will be able to move forward. I believe Lil' Kim could even forgive, right, and move forward if the right conversation stuff was in place. I don't think Nikki has that capacity, at least not yet. And it's sad because she's 41. But for you, how do you move on from conflict, from a beef?
Hopefully you have a conversation. And in some cases, you may just, if the conversation cannot be had, you got to just, not to be deep, give over to God. Like, get your spirit right with it and be like, you know what? I may have tried to have a conversation, may have tried to reconcile. And reconciliation doesn't mean to me like having to go back to the relationship that you had, right? It could be a situation of like, hey, we talked through it. I don't have an issue anymore. And then kind of like give it over to God. Even people I say I have beef with, I don't really have no real beef with them. I just don't F with them, right? But to that level of we had words, we had animosity, it's go both ways. Hopefully at some point you come to a point of resolution of agree to disagree. And it is what it is. Because beef shouldn't be forever. You know what I'm saying? You can dislike somebody forever, but it shouldn't be no... using Meg and Nikki, it shouldn't be going on for the next 28 doing rap battles for the next 10 years. It shouldn't be that way.
And it might be one-sided if it does.
Yeah, yeah. And you get out what you need to get out. I said what I said, right? And it is what it is. Somebody at some point has to be like, you know what? I said what I said. I said my piece. I'm going to hold my piece, right? Like that's what it is.
Jumping back to that real fast though, Lois Akeez, just to bring it back to the culture. I don't know that Megan gonna respond. I feel like Megan did that. I feel like I said what I said. Mm-hmm. I hit you, and your response proves that I was right. Mm-hmm. The damage is done. Like we saw Nikki spiral. It's done. Megan low key don't have to say nothing.
Right.
If anything, I want her to say something for the fact that I would love to see that massacre on vinyl. But outside of that, she really ain't got to say nothing.
Right. And I think it made her spiral more by not saying anything. It's like, I want the attention.
Because you remember the whisper.
Yeah.
You got 24 hours
to
apologize to your mama.
You want it.
The next tracks. First of all, we don't want part two or three of that. Mm-mm. Let's start there. And it's been well over 24 hours, Nikki.
Yeah.
And you've done nothing.
Right. This wasn't even a good beef, rap beef. It wasn't even good. It was just... It fell flat, like in terms of, it was no Drake back to back with that nigga just.
So now that we've had our mature conversation, let's go back to the culture for half a second.
Yeah.
Not only did I listen to the diss songs targeted at Nikki, I went back and listened to Back to Back. I went back and listened to Who Shot You. I went back and listened to Ether.
Good one.
That Rockefeller line rapping, I said, "Oh, Jay-Z should have pulled up off that alone, off that alone, Reverend." Those were. I went back and listened to No Vaseline.
Oh, that's a good one.
I went and listened to them all.
Yeah.
I listened to them all, Reverend. They was out, well, not them all, but I listened to a few, and man.
Nigga, Tupac said, that's why F your B, you fat mother. Like, that's how the song started.
Yes. That's how it started all. Ether, F, Jay-Z. Before you even get a word out, it's like, whoa.
And they whoa. Named names.
And Ether's on iTunes. So this ain't no YouTube. It is fully produced.
They named names.
Yeah. That's rap beef. That's rap beef. I went back. I didn't go listen to the Pusha T joint. There's a few of them that I hadn't went. I mean, I've heard, but I didn't go back and listen to it. But I just went down this rabbit hole of rap diss tracks and mm-hmm. was like, to really be like, you really gave us Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is now in the list of diss tracks. And
yeah, it's not it even.
Should, like, it's like one of the things, which one of these shouldn't be here?
Yeah, it wasn't. You didn't, for the, no pun intended, but pun intended, like, you didn't put your best foot forward with this one.
And somebody on TikTok was very clever and said, the album art was really a homage to Megan Thee Stallion because what it really says is that you can never feel that girl's shoes. And I was like, well. Bro, when I heard them say that, I was like, and it was just simple. They didn't cuss. They was just like, I just left it what it was. And I was like, that is potent.
And that's the thing, because it's like, you picked the wrong person. Because like, you picked the wrong person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the place of your career.
And
here's the thing.
And Bigfoot, like, Meg's tall. Tall women have bigger feet. Like, big it's feet. Just a... I mean, we may joke about it. Oh, that woman got... She wear a size 10, 12, whatever. But, like, it just kind of... My mom is tall for a woman. My mom's like 5'9", 5'8", 5'9". And like, my mom wears like a 9. And, I don't know if she wouldn't put a biz like this out here. Now. My mom wears like a 10. Mm-hmm. And women, and for women, that's quote-unquote... big, but it's like she's 5'9".
Yeah.
What you expect? You know, Meg's almost freaking 6 foot. Yeah. I could imagine that woman wears like a 10.5 or 11. Like, you know what I'm saying? It just kind of that's not a diss. Like, I know that in the black community, like we said, glasses, hips, mm-hmm. anything can be a joke.
Yeah.
But at its core, like that's not a strong diss. Mm-mm. You'd be like, oh, you got a big foot.
Okay. And you got shot. And you slept
and that's
your,
the other thing.
Your friends.
Get your story right, Nikki. Because on one thing, you tell her, get up on her good foot. She got fragments. But then you saying you're lying to Gayle King. What narrative are we going with, Nikki?
Right.
Did she get shot or did she not get shot?
Yeah.
And that's the other thing. It's not even consistent. It's just.
Rubbing on Tory Lanez.
That was so bad.
It was a bunch
it
of just.
It was so bad. It was so bad. It was so bad.
Bless her heart.
It was so bad. Bless her heart. Any last pieces of wisdom you give the puzzle pieces about dealing with an enemy, handling beef, all those things?
You know, don't lose sleep over it. That's my thing. Don't lose sleep over it. If it's hurting your spirit, don't lose sleep over it. Have the conversation. If you can have the conversation, have it. If you feel like a situation where it might turn into something bigger, like, you know, fisticuffs or like somebody going to jail, it may not be worth it. Just pray for them from a distance. There are people who you're going to have issues with in life. Some people are worth the conversation. Some people aren't worth the conversation. Do what's best for you and your spirit and just follow the Lord. That's all I can say.
Follow Jesus.
Follow Jesus. Follow peace with all men.
Come to Jesus just now. He will save you. He will save you just now. All right. That being said, let's go on over and lighten things up and talk about pockets of joy.
Well, let's do it.
You couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. You could never ever bring me down. Couldn't do it then.
All right, puzzle pieces. We are at the segment where we talk about things we're doing to intentionally bring us joy. It's called Pockets of Joy. So, Josh, what are you planning on doing or have been doing to bring you intentional joy?
I'm getting my hair braided Friday.
God bless you.
In the words of Chancey Page, it's my party hair. And it's really not. It's not my party hair. It is my low maintenance. I don't have time to cut this hair when I'm out of town on work trips hair. For real. Like, if people watch the trends. Now I will get my hair braided for some vacations.
Mm-hmm.
But when I be on these work trips, because I work from home, I'm going to just let y'all in a little bit. Lean in. Come in, y'all. Because I work from home, I shower at night and I shower in the morning because I'm OCD like that. But I mostly shower at night because I work out in the evenings now.
Mm-hmm.
So when I wake up, I'm literally putting on a nice top because I got on some shorts and some sweatpants on the bottom.
Yeah.
Brushing my teeth, washing my face, doing my curling my hair or whatever, whatever I got to do. And I'm and that's it. I'm in my house. I ain't got to be exposed to the elements. When I take Josh to school, I don't get out of my car. He's in the seventh grade. I ain't walking to the door.
Right.
And that little nigga get dropped off at the door. Right. So it is a very, even though I curl my hair, I don't have to be exposed to the elements.
Yeah.
Because habitat is very casual. So I can wear a hat on camera and stuff like that. So there's so many things. But when I'm up for work, like I really refresh my curls when I'm going like out of town to conferences and trainings, whatever. Like, and that's, and when it's cold, that's like when you refresh your curling buttons for black folk, you have to wet it.
Yeah.
Your pores are open. Sometimes the hair, you ain't got time to sit there and hair dry because I ain't waking up 3-4 hours before I got to get ready. I'm waking up in enough time to get there on time.
Right, right.
I'm just going to be honest with myself. So having my hair braided, the reason why this is self-care, the reason why this is joy, because I can just take that do-rag off, shake them joints out. What E40 say? Jesus had dreads, so shake them. Mm-hmm. Shake them things out. And go on about my business. Maybe put a little hair oil in there, you know what I'm saying, to keep the scab all good in the process. But, like, that's it. So, I'm going out of town Sunday for a work trip. I'll be in D.C., one of me and Brian's favorite cities. For a nice amount of time, Sunday to Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And
what's the date on that?
This coming Sunday to Wednesday.
I'm being D.C. the next weekend.
Yeah. And then right from there, we're going right back out of town to North Carolina in that same week. So yeah, it's just a lot going on. So I'm really, I know I say it a lot, but I'm gonna be, I don't know that I say it a lot, but this particular week, I'm gonna be chilling, getting ready to travel. Cause like really, once we get out of church, I'm gonna come home, change clothes, grab some eat, I'm going to the airport. My flight's like at six. So pretty much doing what I gotta do to prepare. But I also like wearing braids. Like I'm in this era where I'm like still experimenting with my hair. I'm at a church that is liberal, so braids and stuff don't matter. So, like, I don't know. It's just the freedom to be and to be that in all spaces is really cool. How about you?
So I'm relaxing, man. I'm not working for the rest of the week. I get back home tonight. Oh, we were listening to this. Get back home the night before. And I'm not working for the rest of the week. I worked during the week. I did some travel. When I travel, like, during the week, I'm just, like, I'm not doing anything else. So I'm going to chill, probably do some things around the house. And that's it. Just chill. I feel like I've been going. I think this we'll be traveling next week. So that's pretty much it. So I'm chilling. I'm gonna chill.
That's it. Well,
yeah.
Did Rodney Jenkins bring us a letter?
Let's see. It's a new year, new letter. We do. We do have a letter.
All right. Let's get into it.
Let's do it.
Oh yes. Wait a minute, Mr. Bozeman.
All right, good people. We're here at the Post Office Box, the first one again for 2024. But before we get into this letter, we want to let you know that you too can be featured on the Jigsaw Podcast by writing in to Ask the Jigsaw. That is ASK, the Jigsaw, at gmail.com. We'll do a few things. We'll give you a we'll read your letter out loud if we like it. We're going to give you a pseudonym, could respect your privacy and your pronouns. And then we're going to give you the best non-professional therapeutic advice that you can receive on Cicely Tyson's internet. So with that being said, understood and accepted, Brian.
Yeah.
Who do we have? And what do they want?
All right. Pronouns. She, her.
It's vacation month. So I got to go it strong is. All month. Emma Jean Johnson.
Emma Jean Johnson. Strong black name. Emma Jean. Emma Jean Johnson. All right. Emma Jean Johnson writes, what's good, guys? And happy new year. I want to get straight to the point. I am practicing celibacy for the month of January. Good job. congratulations. And want to extend.
A new meaning to dry January. Go ahead.
New meaning to dry January. I haven't had not too much of a touch of liquor since January. I've been dry this month. Praise the Lord.
We praise God for you. Hallelujah.
Right. My boyfriend is supporting me, but is clearly bothered. I'm nervous this may lead to us breaking up or him cheating. How do I handle this? Do I give in or do I stand on business and let the chips fall where they may? Imogene Johnson. You want to take this or we go first?
I'm going to let you go first, but you can add it.
Well, shout out to you on your celibacy journey. You know what I'm saying? Which is, you know, a month is a long time. Shout out to your boyfriend for supporting you in this. I do understand, like, he can be, you know, if he's used to getting it, depending on how much y'all was getting it.
Yeah,
it could be a frustrating time for him. However, if this is something you're planning on doing, you feel like this is something you need to do, I will support you. You know, I'm not your boyfriend, but I would support you in this journey, right? If something you want to do, feel like you might need to get closer to God to kind of hear from God or really just get connect with yourself.
You want to get your lesson on be smart to God.
Get away from the in crowd.
Get close to God.
Close to God. So it's weird because you breaking up. I think there needs to be communication here. Like, sure. How long are you planning on extending this? Right, give the boyfriend the opportunity to understand that, because he needs to know the things. Because especially if y'all was out here cutting, he needs to know like how long is this going to be? Because then it deals with him too. As far to me, if y'all plan to get married, I'm just gonna give y'all a heads up. Like, you know, we have kids and stuff like that. You don't be getting it like you think you're gonna be getting it, right? So I think moments like this can help you kind of set up to see what you can do personally to be like, you know what, I can withstand this without cheating or without us breaking up, because there are going to be times when you look up and it's been like, dang, it's been like 3 weeks and I ain't done the thing. And it happens, mm-hmm. right? So it's have the conversation, let him know what you're thinking, discuss it with him, hear his thought, hear his heart. Maybe do something cool and be like, hey, this is the date is going to be, put on the calendar. And
well, not the announcement.
Nigga, we going to, do all the things, right?
Twin.
All that stuff. Have the conversation. Have the conversation. That's all I can say. Have the conversation.
Yeah, I don't have too much to add to that. I will only say the only thing that stood out to me was that you worry, it makes you nervous that he may cheat on you. And I think that goes back to the point that Brian discussed. This is, me and Brian are ministers of the gospel.
We are.
So this is no way in us advocating premarital sex or anything like that. I'm not here to say yes, no, or whatever. What I am here to say, though, is that the reality is that people have premarital sex, including y'all have had it.
Yes.
One thing that is true about any relationship, whether you've been practicing abstinence, celibacy, whatever, is that it is hard to have such a drastic change.
Yeah.
When, now for the much of everybody fasting or whatever, taking breaks or resetting January, when you decide to extend it, I could, as a man, like you said, who was getting it in, I could be like, 2 months? 60 days,
that's
right?
Time.
Give or take. That's a long time, especially if you were doing it consistently. So I could get how he's feeling. I can also get that you're nervous. Depending on the seriousness of our relationship, this shouldn't be something that make or break it. But if you worry about it, just have that. While it may seem vulnerable and maybe even insecure, have the conversation with him about it. And see where his head is at. Hopefully he still supports you. If he's in a space where he says, I just can't do this. I don't want to be in a relationship without sex. Then I think you have your answer. Right?
Yeah.
And then unfortunately you move on. So Brian was absolutely right. Have the conversation. And from there, you will know where the chips are going to fall after you talk. Don't just be like, I'm doing this in February, walk away. Like, discuss it. It don't mean that you change what you want to do.
Yeah.
It just means that you have a conversation about its impact because you are in partnership with someone. So write us back. Let us know how that all unfolds. We would love to know. But until then, that's it. Greater conversation.
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Let me talk. Let me talk.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are on an episode talking about beef and conflict resolution and things of that nature. and this is the part of the episode where we call greater conversation, where we get some things off of our chest. I said every week, tomorrow's not promised, so cuss them out today. I'm going to choose joy for the first week of Black History Month. Josh, what do you get? Something to get up your chest?
No, nope, I think I'm going to do the same. I think Nikki and Meg gave us enough beef and greater conversation to start the year off with. And I'm going to be good. I don't even have anything that I know that I want to rant about.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure you blacks and non-blacks.
It's Black History Month.
Probably by the time we press stop recording on this mic, somebody's going to do something to
open
get
up the social media.
I'm gonna open. Look at one of these emails that's been going off since we've been recording, and it's gonna be something that got on my nerves.
Something.
But since we have nothing, for the good of the group,
nothing.
Nothing, nothing.
My favorite Whitney song.
Mine too.
All I need, close one more door. I want to hurt Brian did this to y'all. Anymore. Stay in my arms if you dare. And I'm imagine you there. Don't walk away from me. She sang the snot out that song.
She did.
And the live version when she was in Good Voice. Ooh, top tier. Yeah. Yeah. This has been another episode of the Jigsaw Podcast.
Yeah.
We want to thank you for always supporting us. Thank you for hanging in there with us. We are here for 2024. And we have some amazing things coming up. Black History Month, as always, is a big month for us. So if you have some things you want us to talk about, you have some Black History figures you want us to highlight, who are your favorite folk? Maybe we'll highlight them throughout the week. I mean, throughout the month. We got 5 Thursdays this year.
Mm-hmm.
Five of them things.
Five of them.
So we got just a little extra little boost of blackity blackness. But yeah, love y'all. Thank you for supporting us. And we're going to keep rocking and going strong.
First, shout out to our one of our team members, Jazz, had a death in the family recently. So we're praying to you and your family in this time of grief. Continue to support us, subscribe, like everything we do, interact with anything we do on there. 5 stars and nothing at all. If you're going to rate us, leave a comment, let us know how great we are. Puzzle pieces, we do thank you. We're great without you, but we're greater with you, and we appreciate that. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, let us know. And I think that's it. Before we head out, Josh, let the people know what they need to do.
What you need to do is do what you can while you can in the very best ways that you can. But in all of your doing, please, 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 please don't get caught with your work undone. Love y'all. See y'all next week.
Praise the Lord.